celebrate Laura Jane as she comes forth. She's going to be... You're hiding over there.
Awesome. Oh, my phone. Oh, no, it's in my back pocket. All good. Sorry. Just making sure I got it all together. Okay. Awesome. Can we just pray? That would be really awesome. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We just thank you for your agenda, for your plan and your purpose for even this moment that we have in time with you, God. And I just thank you that what you had on your heart for this moment in time would be fulfilled today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for who you are in the midst of your people. He's a mighty one who saves. And he actually quiets you in his love. And it says he sings over us. That's who he is in the midst of his people. Thank you, God. So much more, but I just got that scripture this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I feel like I've got a lot to cover, but God's going to he's going to pull out exactly what needs to be spoken. I'm going to get straight in. That was the intro. That's it. We're just going to go straight deep, right deep into what he has to say. We're going to just go to Psalm 69, verse 9. The Passion, if we could get it up on the screen, that'd be awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And this is just that when I first was asked to speak, this is the first scripture God gave me that I feel like he just wants to, it's like a starting point and a landing point. He just gave me this as what he wants to breathe on this morning. Psalm 69, verse 9. I'm just going to read it. Thank you, God. And you can read along in your Bibles or whatever, but thank you, Jesus. My love for you. This is David speaking to God. Context, sorry. My love for you has my heart on fire. My passion or zeal for your house consumes me. Nothing will turn me away, even though I endure all the insults of those who insult you. And I just really believe he wants passion and zeal for his house to consume us, and that we would serve God and each other from that place of passion and zeal. He wants our hearts to burn. And I just want to go to 1 Corinthians. We won't put this up because it's actually just a note in the Passion that I wasn't even going to go here, but I really felt to just read this out. It's actually in the Love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and it's actually a note in the Passion. The Aramaic word for love is huba, and it is a homonym that also means to set on fire. It is difficult to fully express the meaning of this word and translate it into English. You could say the Aramaic concept is burning love, fiery love, coming from the inner depths of the heart as an eternal energy, an active power of bonding hearts and lives in secure relationships. The Greek word is agape, which describes the highest form of love. It is the love God has for his people. It is an intense affection that must be demonstrated. And it's like his love for his people is just, his love is so intense and so passionate and so potent and powerful that it actually has to be expressed by fire. It actually, his love causes, you know, that theory of spontaneous combustion. I believe it exists in God. When we get close to the fire of God, the fire of his love for his people, we actually can become spontaneously combusted, if that's the right way to put it. I don't know. But I remember when I was younger, God gave me this vision of his eyes. I remember he showed me what his eyes looked like. And it says in the Bible that his eyes burn with fire. There's fire in his eyes. And I actually saw, I was like face to face, and I saw his eyes burning. And in his eyes, I couldn't quite understand how, but it was full of people. His eyes were full of flames, but in those flames, he was just people, thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions. It was just people. And it's like, there's a reason I'm starting with this. This is how zeal for the house of God is born. It's through the fire of his love. It's through looking at those eyes of fire, being so consumed with the love that he has for you, being set on fire, burning with his love, that you can't help to respond in love to him, but it actually just immediately, actually automatically outflows to people. Because his fire is contagious. And this is actually the place of burning love that we are to serve from. He actually wants us ever burning. Do you know what? There's actually no room for burnout or weariness in the service of the Lord. There is no room for it. Burnout? He's an all-consuming, everlasting fire, and he lives in you. If we actually tap into the burning love, man, if I need a little bit of help with my passion, all I have to do is just look in his eyes again. And I've often gone back to that vision that he gave me, burning for his bride, burning for his people, burning for the world, for the nations, for the nation and for the nations. That fire will not burn out. It is not in its nature to burn out. So you will not burn out. And if that's something that you've experienced or are experiencing, it's actually a lie from the enemy. And it needs, and God just wants to breathe fire. I saw fire. I saw God's breath this morning, and I saw fires that kind of had gone a little bit dim. They were still burning, but they were just a little bit kind of, you know, when the fire starts to kind of, like kind of the fuel starts to run out and the fire starts to kind of settle and kind of just get smaller and smaller and gradually. But I just saw God breathing on people's hearts, breathing just like, hey, that thing where you fireplace, that old fashioned thing with a, you know what, I don't know what it's called, bellows. And it actually, the breath and the wind of God blew on the embers, blew on the fire. And there was flame there. You know, he's showing me different levels, and there was some were just embers, some were flames that were there and burning. But as soon as the breath of God and the wind of God breathed, wildfire, just consuming, spontaneous combustion, just absolute consuming in his fire. And that's where he wants us. That's where he wants his people serving. That's where we're meant to come from. 2 Corinthians 5:14. I'm not going to go because there's just so much that I feel to like go to. So I'm probably not going to go to many of them, but I'm just going to read them. 2 Corinthians 5:14, 21. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us, because we were absolutely convinced that he has given his life for all of us. This means all who died with him, so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him. The one who died for us and now lives again, poured out for him. Hey, when you get consumed with his love, there is no selfish motive in that. There is no self-promotion. There is no, oh my gosh, I want to be seen. I need to be reassured of my gifting and reassured, you know, like I want all the encouragement of Ben. That's it. It's just, who cares? Because his Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us. And if his life was poured out, then we are to pour out our lives. And man, if that, I just feel like there's such a sense, and Pastor Kim has mentioned this many times, but there's such a sense of privilege and a sense of honor that he is birthing on the inside of us more than we've ever felt before. Because of the sacrifice that he made, yes, yet so we should pour out our lives in sacrifice. Hey, thank you, Jesus. And it's and privilege, that sense of privilege is, I just see it burning in our hearts. I'm so privileged just to be able to serve him. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And then it says in Philippians 2:12 to 13, God will continually revitalize you. There we go. That's another I guess, proof of there is no burnout. He will continually revitalize you. Implanting within you the passion. He implants the passion. If you're having trouble with passion, go to him. He's the one that implants the passion. He is at work within you. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I have lent on this scripture so many times. God, even just that, I want to want you. I want that passion that just burns to want you to follow you. And I'm like, well, you say that you work within me to actually, for me to be able to will, that means want to do what pleases you, and to actually do it. I've gone to this scripture. I've said, okay, God, you said that you're going to give me the passion for it. You said that you're going to give me the want to just give everything. He gives us the want to. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 3:17-19, the resting place of his love is to be the source and the root of our lives. Thank you, Jesus. His love is circular. We experience it continually. Respond by loving him and then extend that love to others, only to find ourselves drawn back into his love once more. He's always the initiator and we respond. There has to be an outflow to others of what we receive from him. Otherwise, we can become spiritually obese. Lots of calories going in, but no energy being expended. And he wants his people healthy. And receiving and releasing in proportion to what they have received, they release. That is his heart for us. Serving in the house and serving people is a way that this outflow of what you have received can occur. Thank you, God. We can do a lot of things for God. And we've heard this before. You can do a lot of things for him. But his heart is that you would do it with him and fueled by his passion and in deep connection. Even every moment that you're walking, you actually grow deeper in that connection with him. Not just ticking a whole box of, oh, yep, I'm on every roster in the church. Actually, I've ticked all the boxes. I've achieved a lot here because I've really served God with all my heart. And that's amazing. But it's actually, where's your heart at? He wants it fueled by his love and doing it with him and not for him. He made you for him. Thank you, God. Now, serving in the house is more than just being on a roster. However, being on a roster is vital to the function of the church. So I'm not saying don't be on a roster, but it gives you a position and a place to release from when you're on a roster. That's awesome. But it's not about ticking the box of being on a roster, but bringing and releasing your portion. Now, this is really interesting because this was a while back. We visited Beth and I. I'm not saying this doesn't happen here because I've seen it happen here. It really stood out to me when we were there. We went into the building. Meeting hadn't started. I was really excited for the worship, for who was to speak. And this usher just came up to us and he welcomed us. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then he just began to release the glory of God. He just began to pray. And I just remember getting so smashed. Came out of nowhere. I was just not even expecting for God to come in that way. And I just was like, absolutely. For the rest of the meeting, I was kind of just out. And that usher, he just released his portion. He was on a roster. But he came full and he came ready to release. He didn't just come to tick the box of, oh, yep, my name's ticked off the list this week. I'm on the run sheet. Awesome. But he came to release his portion. And there was another example. I mean, there's many examples that I could bring up, but one of recent, and I've mentioned this to Emma, but she was actually on photography one week and she was taking photos in the middle of the service. And I was, that's practical. It needs to be done. We need to have photos to actually post on social media so we can, it's awesome. It's practical. So she was taking photos and all of a sudden in between taking photos, she just began to bring her portion of worship. She just began to give it all. She just began to, just like she would do at the front, just like she would do if she wasn't on roster, she began to pour her affection on Jesus. And I saw it in the atmosphere. It actually began to change the atmosphere where she was standing. It was actually releasing glory. It was releasing his praise on the earth. And it was so powerful. And so I guess the point is it's not just about coming and like ticking the box, but it's actually about God. I'm on this morning. I'm not even on anything this morning. But God, where do you want me? How do you want me to release my worship this morning? What does that look like? Show me. Who am I supposed to talk to? Am I just meant to even just give one word of encouragement and that's all that I am doing to serve you this morning? But that's actually powerful because he told you to do it. So we need to be ready. Our hearts are just to be ready in service to him, regardless of roster, whether we're on it or we're not on that week, whatever. Our hearts come ready to serve. Our hearts come ready to go, God, how can I be, let's say, the knee today, the knee of the body? How can I be the part that I am and release who I am? Now, it's interesting. When I was younger, I didn't really get it like I get it now. And thank you, Jesus. He's so gracious. I would think about my calling and I'd think about what he's got for me. And I just wanted to, I wanted to do something significant for him, not to be significant, but to do something significant because I experienced his love and his salvation. And I just wanted to do something big for God. And, that's in our hearts. We want to do something big for God. That's just like when he breathes on you, when he saves you, you just want to, live your life for him. And I was kind of like, okay, so significance, what does that look like? And I'm like, yeah, well, like that maybe looks like reaching thousands in like Africa. And like, there's all the things that I thought that I was like, maybe potentially just wanted to do for God. And I was thinking I'm going to, feed the orphans and like, and I'm not saying, just listen to what I'm saying in this. And I was thinking, I'm going to feed the orphans and I'm going to, build homes for people in other nations and all these things. I just want to do all these great things in my mind. I'm like, yeah. And I kind of was like, at that time in my life, I was choosing my vocation. I hadn't finished school yet. And I was kind of like, how does this line up? I've got this, this burning desire to serve. And I'm like, I don't know. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit brought my parents to my mind. And he showed me my dad and my mom faithfully serving, and they surrendered their gifts to the house of God, and they served. Sorry, Anna. And I looked at my mom. There was just an amazing mercy gift on her life, and she would just release mercy wherever she went. And there was this evangelistic thing on her life, and she would just go to work. She was a nurse and she'd just get people saved. Real simple. Not striving, but she couldn't help it. She's just like, I have to know if they believe God, if they're going from this earth to there, I have to check. And she'd ask, the question was, are you a believer? That's what she'd ask so many patients, are you a believer? And the Holy Spirit said, significance, something significant for me, it's obedience. Significance is obedience. And it actually doesn't have to, we have to lay down sometimes what we think it's going to look like when we serve God. We actually have to lay that down because we are for him. We are his vessel. We are made for the master's use, and he has a use for us, and he knows exactly what it looks like. Sometimes we can get ideas in our head that may be all good, but what I was talking about before, that serving in Africa or reaching the orphans, if God has told you to do that, that is significant for the kingdom of God because you are obeying what he told you to do. Does that make sense? If it's not what he told you to do, it's worth something, but it's not really what he asked you to do. So it's actually not significant. The significance that he wants you to bring to the earth, it's not in that because he didn't ask you to do it. Does that make sense? So it's, and it, like Pastor Kim and Sam brought this up. It's in the laying down. Pastor Kim said it's in the laying down of our giftings, and Sam talked about how his story had to lay down what he thought he wanted or his desire. He had to lay it down. In the laying down of what we think it's going to look like, in the laying down of our giftings, God, everything you've given me, just use me however you see fit. However you see fit. And we're going to go to, thank you, God. I've kind of skipped all around, but there's a really important, it's all important, but there's a point that I just really, anyway, Psalm 84:10. So we can go there. It's in the Passion. Psalm 84, verse 10. Thank you, God. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Now, I was at the women's conference this year, and this I was just worshiping God, and I was just in this place of his glory, and it was so thick and it was so weighty. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like he used the words of David to pray through me. And that's been happening a bit lately. And it's just like the words of David just came from my, I hadn't even thought of this scripture in years. And the words of David just came out of my mouth. God, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. And I was like, what the heck? What? I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I didn't really understand it, but it just came from his spirit. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. And it was like just this place of his presence. And I was like, I'll just stay on the outskirts of where, like, I felt like I was in this place of his glory. And I'll just stay right here. I'll just stay, even if it's in the courts, not even in the throne room. I'll just stay here because it's just so glorious and it's just so beautiful and so wonderful. I'll just be the doorkeeper. I'll happily serve here. Like this, you know, he prays through us. When we surrender our hearts, he's actually going to, there's things will come from your mouth. That's actually a prayer. There was a prayer originally in the heart of God, and it'll come out of your mouth when you surrender your heart to him. And when you lean into his heart for you, you're going to begin to pray prayers that actually come straight from his heart. And so this is what it, so I looked into this a bit. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. And this is the Bible kind of commentary on it. So it's not my words, but the role of a doorkeeper was a humble position, often associated with the Levites who served in the temple. The Levites, part of their job was to be the doorkeeper in the temple. This statement highlights the psalmist's humility and willingness to serve even in the lowest capacity if it means being close to God. It underscores the value of service and presence over status and comfort. I'm going to read that again. It underscores the value of service and presence, God's presence, over status and comfort. The house of my God refers to the temple, a central place of worship and sacrifice. This desire to be near God, even in the lowly position, foreshadows the New Testament teaching of servanthood and humility exemplified by Jesus, which is what Pastor Kim brought on the first session of this. Yeah. That heart, I believe he's just birthing that heart in us. God, I'd just be a doorkeeper. And so what's amazing is he gave me that scripture, but then he gave me the example of that usher from Bethel. That usher was a doorkeeper, yet he released the power and the presence of God. He was the first point of contact for people to walk in the door, and immediately they were touched by God. So it's actually, man, that's what, it reminds me when we're reading that scripture about the body and how even the most, you know, does it say shameful parts? The most shameful parts are actually worthy of honor. Like they can be sometimes even the greatest. It's like, that's kind of what it reminds me of. Just no matter where you're serving, you can release the presence of God. You can release your portion. And this song, it's so cool because this morning we sang that song and Pastor Brad actually, you know, brought it up in his tithe as well. But I had this song written in my notes days ago and I knew, I had a feeling that it might be sung this morning. And I know because you know why? Because it's what he's releasing. It's there's a heart posture that he's releasing in us for us to run with. And all is for your glory. All is for your name. So put me anywhere. I'll just be a doorkeeper. Just put your glory in me. When we taste of his glory, that's just, oh man, that's the attitude. It's just so easy to take that attitude. God, you realize your insignificance in the light of his glory, in the light of his grace, and how humongous and all-consuming he is. And it's like, oh yeah, take me. I'll just, you put me where you want me. It's so easy when we actually see who he truly is. So put me anywhere. Just put your glory in me. I'll serve anywhere. Just put, let me see your beauty. Thank you, God. See, I don't actually really, it's really not my preference to hold a mic. It really isn't. I've been asked by the pastors and by God to do it at times, but it's just not my preference. But I know, again, it's like that laying down of what I want to do. And it's like, God, you can use this. And so I'll do it. It's uncomfortable for me. It's not mine. I don't like it. I get nervous every single time. I'm currently shaky. I feel sick. Like I'm just being genuine. Like I don't, it's not like, oh great, I get to hold the microphone again. It's actually, I've had to I've had to lay down what I want to do and do it when he says go, you need to give that word. It's actually just, and it's not, yeah, it's just not about me. The more and more you learn about Jesus, it's just, it's about you in that he loves you, but it's not about you in the service of others. It doesn't really matter if, as in, yeah. Jesus. All right, well, we finished at 11. So I'm going to, there's a vision that I got in 2018 that I'm going to finish with. And see, his word is ever living. So it's active and it's for yesterday. It's for now. It's for tomorrow. Like it's multifaceted. He'll use it in different seasons. And I just really felt the Holy Spirit like breathe on this again. It's what he's done. It's what he's doing, and it's what he will do. So in 2018, I saw one new man, giant in size, which represented the body of Christ fully united. However, this body was motionless, alive, but by no means full of life. The arms and legs were still and limp. I then saw God breathing into the mouth of his body, just like I actually saw. Yeah, that makes sense, because I actually saw that this morning again, him breathing. Breathing into the mouth of his body, and heard the words, a holy reviving, a holy resuscitation. He was breathing his life into his body. He was face to face with her, eye to eye. There was complete intimacy occurring as God was breathing life into her. Song of Solomon 1:2-4, let him smother me with kisses, his spirit kiss divine. So kind are your caresses, I drink them in like the sweetest wine. Your presence releases a fragrance so pleasing over and over poured out. For your lovely name is flowing oil, no wonder the brides-to-be adore you. Draw me into your heart. We will run away together into the king's cloud-filled chamber. We will remember your love, rejoicing and delighting in you, celebrating your every kiss as better than wine. The Hebrew word for kiss is actually to equip. So as he kisses us, he's equipping us. And it says to arm for battle. With his kiss, with his in that intimate place with him, he equips us, he prepares us for battle, he arms us ready for whatever we are to face in that moment, in that place of intimacy. That's where he arms us and equips us. He was kissing his body back to life with his love, equipping her and arming her for battle. I then saw the effect of this kiss, this breath on the body. The lungs started to fill with oxygen, which is life, and in turn the heart started pumping with renewed vigor. You can actually just begin to see this in your mind's eye, what this looks like. The heart began pumping with renewed vigor and now was in time with the heart of the one breathing life. As like the heart of the body began to beat in time with the one, with Jesus. The heart was one of flesh. Ezekiel 11:19, and I will give them one heart, a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take the stony, unnaturally hardened heart of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, sensitive and responsive to the touch of their God. And I even just now, in the last, I don't know, couple, maybe few weeks, I've just felt this real stripping back of my heart, this real, it's like he's like stripping my heart back raw, but in a really good way, just a softening as I repented. There was some things he brought up maybe seemingly not that big of a deal to some, but it was a big deal to him. And there's just this, that's what he's doing. He's actually stripping off any stoniness or calluses that may have developed over our heart. And so that we would have a soft heart again, responsive and sensitive to the touch of our God. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances, obedience, and do them. And they shall be my people and I will be their God. I'm almost done. I know specifically fear, apathy, and complacency were falling off the body as he was breathing on us. Fear, apathy, complacency, gone. As there were the ways the enemy had tried to keep the body immobilized. The heart pumps oxygenated blood to the rest of the body. I saw the life of God, which is in his blood, being pumped by the soft, fleshy heart of the church to every part of the body. Because we were soft and the heart could function and actually deliver that oxygenated blood effectively to the rest of the body. where there was altered sensation or numbness and lack of mobility due to lack of blood flow, which happens in our natural body. There was life-giving blood flowing into each blood vessel and bringing life. Just begin to see this in your mind. I then saw each limb moving freely without hindrance. Every limb was being mobilized and there was action being taken, all flowing from the heart of the church that was pumping and compelled by his love. Acts 17:28, for in him we live and we move and we have our being. Now in the last like 4 minutes I know this maybe... I feel like he's quieting us in his love this morning. That's what I saw him doing. He's making us quiet before him. There's a holiness and that there's a reverence that his love is producing this morning. I just feel it in the atmosphere. There's this reverence and this holiness because our God is an all-consuming fire. Now, in this last 4 minutes we have, I don't feel to we will pray for people at the end like we usually do, but I really feel like there's just going to be this moment. You know, you can capture the moment right now. It's a moment in God and you can actually grab onto it. And he wants to breathe on us. Breathe. Even you might have a flame going. You might feel like you're burning to a degree right now, but he wants to breathe. And so that flame is actually completely becomes wildfire and completely consumes your life. Or you might feel like your fire has gone out and you don't feel really passionate. You don't really feel you want to serve, but you just don't even really feel the passion for it or the love for his people. And that's okay because he gives us the passion in the first place. So I just want you to close your eyes right now. And I just want you to go to that place of intimacy with him where you're eye to eye. You're face to face because he's right here. And I just want you to let him breathe on you. Just say, you can say this in your own time. God, breathe on me. Breathe on me. Thank you, God. Just begin to receive his breath over your life. Begin to receive. He's breathing holy fire over your life that will fuel you for service, that will fuel you for your life. Just let him breathe on you. Let him breathe on you. Thank you, Jesus, that you're breathing on your people this morning. Thank you, Jesus. By faith, we receive what you're doing. By faith, we say yes and amen to the fire of God just being birthed in our life like never before. Let humility, let service, let privilege overwhelm our hearts for you, Jesus. In the service that we give unto you, God. Let your holiness refine us even now. Let your holiness refine us even now. And there might be some things that you need to repent of, but that's okay because he's made a way by his blood. He made it like that so that we would come to him and repent. And he'd make all things new. By his blood. So just even in your heart, just let repent. If there's something that you feel you need to repent from, just begin to do that. Whether it's disobedience, whether it's delaying in obedience, whatever, I don't know, there's whatever you feel like he's saying to your heart, just begin, just you and him right now, just begin to let repentance flow. It's just a changing of your direction. It's just a changing and a softening of the heart. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. Bless the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Let our hearts burn for you like never before. Let our hearts burn for you just like your heart burns for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Just let him rest on you. Just let his presence rest on you. Because every moment that we're engaged with his presence, we're changed. When we look to him, we're changed. We can't stay the same. I just felt him say, I'm not going to let you stay the same. I'm going to send you out with holy fire. I'm not going to let you stay the same. I'm going to... Hey. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just let him continue that work as you go. You don't have to actually switch off from what he's doing in your heart. He is so good. He can actually do it on the go. So when you need, you know, when you need, as you go and as you, that's what he's done for me. As you go, just let your heart be ministered. Just continue to let it be ministered by his love. He's just so passionate about us knowing his love and burning like he burns. He's so passionate that we would burn for him, that would be burning ones, that our fire would not grow dim, but it would burn. Jesus, because we are made to be like him. So he is, so are we on this earth. As he is, so are we on this earth. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. I feel like that's it. But as I said, don't let what he's doing in your heart, just don't get distracted. You can, as you go, just God say, God, keep working. Keep moving on my heart. Keep doing what you want to do. Keep having your way in my life so that I would be a burning sacrifice for you, so that I would live unto you and only for you. Thank you. Just begin to just, yeah, just to keep that going. Awesome.